ودخل معه السجن فتيان قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا وقال الآخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل الطير منه نبئنا بتأويله إنا نراك من المحسنين.
And with Joseph, peace be upon him, two other slaves entered the prison. One of them said, I saw myself pressing wine in a dream. And the other said, I saw myself carrying bread on my head of which the birds were eating. Both said, Tell us, what is its interpretation? For we consider you to be one of those who do good. And with Joseph, peace be upon him, at the time of his imprisonment, Joseph, peace be upon him, was barely 20 or 21 years old. According to the Talmud, when Joseph, peace be upon him, assumed the reins of Egypt after being released from prison, he was 30 years old. The Quran says that Joseph, peace be upon him, remained in prison for a few years. The actual word used in the Quran is bid, which denotes a maximum period of 10 years. Two other slaves entered the prison. According to the Bible, one of the two slaves who entered the prison along with Joseph, peace be upon him, was the chief butler of the Egyptian king and the other was his chief baker. According to the Talmud, the Egyptian king had sent them to prison for he had found some grit in the bread and a fly in the wine which were served at a banquet. Both said, Tell us, what is its interpretation? For we consider you to be one of those who do good. This gives some idea of how highly Joseph was regarded in the prison. The incidents related earlier also show why the two prisoners approached Joseph, peace be upon him, for an interpretation of their dreams. This also explains why they told him, We consider you to be one of those who do good. Everyone, both inside and outside the prison, knew well that Joseph was not a criminal. On the contrary, he was known as a virtuous person. He was exposed to the most seductive temptations to which any person can be exposed, but he had stood firm. No wonder he began to be looked upon as the most virtuous person in the whole land. He stood head and shoulders above all, including the religious leaders. As a result, not only the prisoners, but also the prison authorities held Joseph, peace be upon him, in high esteem. The Bible therefore makes this observation. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care. Joseph said, Peace be upon him. I will inform you about the interpretation of the dreams before the arrival of the food that is sent to you. This knowledge is part of what I have been taught by my Lord. I have renounced the way of those who do not believe in Allah and who deny the hereafter.
وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ذلك من فضل الله علينا وعلى الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون.
And I have adopted the way of my forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, peace be upon them. It is not for us to associate any with Allah in His divinity. It is out of Allah's grace upon us and upon mankind that He did not require of us to serve any beside Allah. And yet most people do not give thanks.
Ya sahibai sijn a'arbabun mutafarriqun khayrun amillahu alwahidul qahhar.
Fellow prisoners, is it better that there be diverse lords or just Allah, the One, the Irresistible?
ما تعبدون من دونه إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن الحكم إلا لله أمر ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
Those whom you serve beside him are merely idle names that you and your fathers have fabricated, without Allah sending down any sanction for them. All authority to govern rests only with Allah. He has commanded that you serve none but Him. This is the right way of life, though most people are altogether unaware.
يا صاحبي السجن أما أحدكما فيسقي ربه خمرا وأما الآخر فيصلب فتأكل الطير من رأسه قضي الأمر الذي فيه تستفتيان.
Fellow prisoners, this is the interpretation of your dreams. One of you will serve wine to his lord, the king of Egypt. As for the other, he will be crucified and birds will eat of his head. The question concerning what you asked has thus been decided. The question concerning what you asked has thus been decided. This discourse by Joseph, which is at the very heart of the story, peace be upon him, stands out as one of the best expositions of monotheism in the Quran. Strangely enough, this finds no place in the Bible and the Talmud, which represent Joseph, peace be upon him, as no more than a pious and wise person. The Quran, however, also highlights those features of his conduct which are passed over in silence in both those sources. It underscores his prophetic mission and indicates he had embarked upon it while still in prison. Joseph's discourse, peace be upon him, is far too important to be passed over superficially. It provides a wealth of significant points which should be given serious consideration. A. This is the first occasion where we find Joseph, peace be upon him, preaching the true faith. In the biographical information about Joseph, peace be upon him, provided by the Quran prior to this incident, we have some idea about the moral excellence which characterized Joseph's life from the very beginning. However, prior to this discourse, we do not come across any instance of religious preaching of the kind found here. This indicates that the early stages of his life were of a preparatory nature and were designed to develop in him the capacities that would enable him to undertake his mission as a prophet. In short, we learn that prophethood was conferred upon Joseph, peace be upon him, during the period of his imprisonment. The present discourse is the first sustained statement that he makes in that capacity. B. It is again for the first time that Joseph, peace be upon him, publicly discloses his true identity. So far, he had calmly and patiently endured the adversities which befell him. His life, even before this oration, was quite an eventful one. He was made a captive, he was brought to Egypt, was sold to the Egyptian chief, and was then imprisoned. On none of these occasions did Joseph, peace be upon him, disclose his true identity. At no point did he identify that he was the grandson of Abraham and Isaac and the son of Jacob, peace be upon them. His parents and grandparents were no ordinary mortals. The members of the caravan, both Midianite and Ishmaelite, knew this family very well. The Egyptians, too, were not unfamiliar with his forefathers, at least not with Abraham, peace be upon him. The reference to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac in Joseph's present discourse, peace be upon them, implies that all of them were very well known in Egypt. It is also significant that Joseph, peace be upon him, had never invoked the name of his parents and grandparents to extricate himself from the dire straits in which he found himself during the preceding 4 or 5 years. Presumably, he realized that he had to endure hardships so that he might develop the qualities required to play the role which God had decided to entrust him with. When Joseph started his religious preaching, it became necessary for him to emphasize that he was not presenting a new religious faith. On the contrary, he claimed to be a part of that universal movement of monotheism whose earlier exponents were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, peace be upon them. This point had to be made. For anyone who stands for the truth never lays claim to novelty. He rather declares at the very outset that he is concerned with inviting people to the eternal truth which has been presented throughout the ages by its exponents. C. The manner in which Joseph, peace be upon him, availed himself of the opportunity offered by his imprisonment and his interaction with his fellow prisoners provides an important lesson. It tells how exponents of the true faith should act with wisdom and prudence in preaching the truth. The occasion for preaching the faith in Joseph's case was provided by fellow prisoners who narrated their dreams to him. They also expressed their esteem for Joseph, peace be upon him, and asked him to interpret their dreams, and Joseph promised to do so. However, he said that he would only do so after informing them of the sources of his knowledge on which he would depend for the interpretation of the dreams. Thus, he found a good reason to present his message before them. From this we learn that if someone is really keen to preach the truth and also has wisdom, he can make use of 100 different opportunities and direct the subject of the conversation to his basic message. Conversely, if someone is devoid of the burning desire to serve his cause and preach his message, he will never be able to make use of the opportunities that present themselves. A truly committed person is always on the lookout for every possible opportunity, and he avails himself of it whenever any such opportunity arises. There is a world of difference, however, between a prudent person who wisely uses the opportunities to preach his message and the stupid preacher who does so clumsily in disregard of time and place and tries to force his ideas upon people. Such preachers are often also quarrelsome and obnoxious, with the result that they create revulsion against the teachings they seek to preach. D. From this we also learn the right way of presenting the message of faith. Joseph, peace be upon him, did not start by presenting detailed rules and regulations. He first introduced the fundamental point which distinguishes the way of truth from that of falsehood. Joseph, therefore, clearly explained the basic difference between monotheism and polytheism. Moreover, he explained this difference in such simple and reasonable terms that no one with common sense could have helped but appreciate it. The analogy which Joseph, peace be upon him, used to elucidate his message had a very special appeal for the people around him because they had experienced slavery themselves. They therefore knew well what is better for people, to serve one master or several masters. This analogy would have enabled them to recognize that which is better, serving the Lord of the universe or serving his creatures. It is also significant that Joseph, peace be upon him, did not clumsily ask people to abandon their faith and embrace his. Rather, he told them in moving terms that God, by ordaining that his servants should serve none but him, had done them a great favor. It is astonishing that people are still not thankful to him for this favor. They continue to invent their gods and to worship them. Joseph, peace be upon him, also criticizes the religious doctrines of his audience. But his criticism is couched in reasonable terms and contains nothing that would hurt their susceptibilities. He simply tells them that those whom they had taken as their deities and whom they considered to have control over power, wealth, health, and other blessings from God were merely empty names. They have no power to provide anything. The only true Lord and Master was God, whom they also recognized as the Creator and Lord of the universe. They were, however, oblivious of the fact that the Lord and Creator of the universe had not sanctioned Godhead for any of the deities they worshipped. God has exclusive power to rule over His creation, and He has commanded that men may not worship any other than Him. E. The discourse also indicates how Joseph, peace be upon him, spent his 8-year term in prison. Some people assume that since the Quran mentions only one of Joseph's speeches that he invited people to the truth on only one occasion, such an assumption seems altogether improper. For to think so would amount to charging a prophet with dereliction of duty. Apart from that, Joseph's keenness, peace be upon him, to call people to the true faith is evident from the incident just mentioned. Two of his fellow prisoners had asked him to interpret their dreams. Joseph, peace be upon him, made use of this opportunity to preach the faith. In view of the above, how can it even be conceived that such a person would have spent his 8 long years in prison without making any effort to preach his message?
وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منه اذكرني عند ربك فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين.
And Joseph, peace be upon him, said to one of the two prisoners who he knew would be set free, "Mention me in your Lord's presence." But Satan caused him to forget mentioning this to his Lord, the King of Egypt. And so Joseph, peace be upon him, languished in prison for several years. But Satan caused him to forget mentioning this to his Lord, the King of Egypt. And so Joseph, peace be upon him, languished in prison for several years. This Quranic statement, "فَانْسَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ," has been interpreted by some Quran commentators to mean that Satan caused Joseph to become negligent in remembering God, his Lord, and asked a creature of God to secure his release by bringing his case to the attention of his master, that is, the Egyptian king. It was for this reason that God punished Joseph, peace be upon him, and why he languished in prison for several years. However, such an interpretation is absolutely wrong. The correct interpretation, in our view, is the one offered by Mujahid and Muhammad ibn Ishaq among the scholars of the early period, and by Ibn Kathir among the scholars of a relatively later period. According to their interpretation, the pronoun refers to the person who, in Joseph's view, was about to be set free. Hence, what the verse means is that Satan caused this person to forget mentioning the case of Joseph, peace be upon him, to his Lord. A tradition is also related in this connection, which says that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Had Joseph, peace be upon him, not made the statement that he did, he would not have languished in the prison for several years." One may, however, ask, what is the degree of authenticity of this tradition? According to Ibn Kathir, every chain of transmission in the tradition is weak. In some of its versions, the report has been attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him. In others, Sufyan ibn Vaqi and Ibrahim ibn Yazid are the transmitters of these traditions, and both of them are unreliable. In other versions, the tradition is mursal, and in such matters, mursal traditions are not taken into account. The tradition is also implausible on grounds of common sense, for it does not stand to reason that the efforts of a person who was subjected to injustice and oppression would be considered an act of forgetting God and be regarded as inconsistent with having trust in Him.